Ah, yes, one more day in Vegas. Well, for some people, not for me. A lot to get to. Let's do it. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Probably should just use that to text, however, because we're on location in Las Vegas. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776, and it's a Friday. Let's have some fun. And, well, of course, we're having fun because we're in Las Vegas for Canelo Khan, which is tomorrow night, live on pay-per-view at 8 o'clock Central Time. And a lot of great stuff to get to. Mr. Hoffman, how's your trip going?
It's going great, man. How about you?
It's going okay. It's about to be over, though, because I have to go back.
Yeah, you're donezo pretty much. Yeah. You're on the way out.
Yeah, which sucks because I would love to stay here for this fight. But it's also Derby Day coming up, so looking forward to that. And we'll be out at Sam Houston Race Park tomorrow, and I have a couple more couple more tickets to give away for those of you who are interested in going. You'll need to know your horse trivia, though. I want people who know horses a little bit and who will actually use the tickets, so I'll be giving those away this hour. But I think I've decided I'm completely retiring from poker.
Oh.
This is it. Two more bubbles, both of which we did a deal for fourth, so it wasn't any big deal. I got my money back. But both times, get in with the best hand. Both times lose, which is what...
I mean, that's getting kind of out of control.
It is. This is five times in a row. That doesn't happen by accident.
Well, that's too bad.
So either I suck, or I'm the most unlucky person alive, or the poker gods hate me right now.
I actually played last night and brought my wife and had her play as well, and I finished third. But after, you know, my entry and her entry, I ended up making like 20, 30 bucks. So it wasn't a... wasn't a hugely
successful
night.
You hate to grind for 30 bucks for a three-hour tournament.
And I felt like when we got to the final table, there was three of us, or when it got down to like the people that had made the money, we all had about the same stack. And the very first hand of three-handed, the guy behind, I was my big blind, and the guy pushed all in, and I had pocket nines. And I called. He had ace five, ace out the gate, and... Mm. I was done.
That's I had ace king against ace five, so
ace five was
ace five was night. Was the nuts.
That apparently. was the culprit.
Yeah, and it's funny though. Every table that I've been at here the last two times we've been here, it's like all Canadians and Irish. It's like every table, like no Americans. Do Americans not play poker anymore?
I don't know, but of the last three that I was at the table with, it was an Irishman and a Brit.
Well,
so,
there you go.
Yeah,
that should tell you something.
It means that we're the best American players in the city.
That's not saying much.
No.
especially when all I could do is bubble.
Probably man. Besides like Phil Ivey and Phil Hellmuth.
Well, yeah, they don't
count, guys,
they're not going to be playing at the MGM Grand.
No.
You know, not in the little tournaments we play. But, yeah, it's very odd, man. There's a lot of Irish people here last two trips that we've been here. But anyway, it is for the fight tomorrow, Canelo Khan, and it's very cool seeing how this place is starting to fill up. Always fight weekends are so much fun, and this is going to be even better because it's also Derby weekend, so I know the sports book is just going to be hopping tomorrow, which I'd like to be here for, but part of me doesn't want to be there either because it's going to be crowded as hell.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of great interviews for you today. Lennox Lewis, Andre Ward.
Yeah,
that's some big-time stuff there. So those are coming up, and we'll grab a few more folks as we go along. But you know, should be a fun show, and it's a Friday, so if you guys want to get in, you know the ways to do it. And go ahead and text us. Go ahead and hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, however you wish to do it, and let's just have some fun today. So something I want to get to right off the bat, because I saw the story this morning. I did not actually see the story that was written. I want to start with that, but I assume it's quoted properly. But apparently Carlos Gomez got very upset over a quote attributed to him.
Okay. Was it about being sexy?
No. But Brian T. Smith of the Chronicle wrote a story on how much Gomez is struggling. And so here's the quote. "For the last year and this year, I not really do much for this team. The fans be angry. They be disappointed." And English is his second language. And it kind of makes him look bad. There's no question. I'm a little surprised that he used the quote exactly like that.
Isn't it kind of like common practice to clean that up?
It is. It's journalism 101, frankly. Unless you're trying to make a point about how his English is getting better, but he still struggles with it, and you use a quote like that. If you're trying to make a point about the way he talks, yes. Otherwise, you clean it up. We used to do that all the time. And even on little stuff, like somebody would say, we got to do this. We'd change it to we've got to do this. I mean, it's a common practice. It's solid editing. It's smart journalism, frankly, because you're not trying to make people look bad, especially when English isn't their language.
Right.
And they're trying to communicate with you.
I'm okay with, like, if English is someone's first language, I'm actually okay with leaving them out looking like an idiot if they sound like an idiot.
If there's a point to doing it, absolutely. If there's no point in it, then there's no reason to do it. In this case, though, it would have been very easy to clean it up and just say, for the last year and this year, I did not really do much for this team. The fans are angry. They're disappointed. It says the exact same thing.
Right.
And doesn't make him look like an idiot. But, yeah, he wound up tweeting about it. He said, "Oh, yeah, next time you want an interview, have Google Translate on hand. God bless." But that's the kind of thing that, yeah, I don't understand why. Yeah, and again, I don't know Brian very well, so I can't really comment on what he was thinking. But an editor somewhere has to do that. It's not just on him.
Kind of the part that's garbage, and I don't know Brian either, but, if a guy is willing to talk to you about something like that, like how much he sucks right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of want to, not make him look like an a-hole, because
Right. He's
doing something that a lot of guys aren't even comfortable doing.
Exactly.
Talking openly about struggles.
Yeah. I think it's a Bush move, and I'm disappointed to see that. And I'm disappointed that whoever edited that let it go through like that. And I know that that's the biggest thing that suffers in newspapers these days is editing, because the guys who used to have a process where it'd have to go through three people before it ever got in the paper.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore. They can't afford to pay people to do that. So, yeah, that's not an excuse for it, but somebody read that thing before it got in the paper. Somebody should have, have corrected it, or at least called Brian and say, "Hey, we need to clean this up. You're making him look like an idiot." And so the ball was definitely dropped there too. But there's no reason to make a guy look bad. He looks bad enough when he stands in the batter's box. Why do you need to do that?
Dude's struggling enough.
Yeah. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Chase says you're supposed to insert parentheses SIC if you leave the exact quote in the article. That's if he says something that doesn't make any sense. You can figure this out. But if he says the wrong word and you're making a point of showing why he's doing the wrong word, you do that. But in this case, that really wasn't necessary. But what was necessary was just clean the damn thing up, man. And Dustin brings up a good point. Odd that I've never seen him quote Altuve or Correa like that before.
Right.
And, if you listen to those guys, well, you hear Carlos's ads on the station. It's broken English. I mean, and you shouldn't expect these guys to speak perfect English. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN. I just think it's disappointing to me. And it's funny because I don't consider myself – I don't even think of that as part of my life anymore. But when I see stuff like that, when I see a paper close like the Tampa Tribune, It's depressing to me to see how far things have fallen, not just in terms of the actual existence of newspapers, but in terms of the quality of what people are putting out there. And that's – it's frustrating. All right. You know what? I've got a lot of stuff to give away. Why don't we start with this? A Canelo versus Khan autographed boxing glove. You can win a commemorative Canelo versus Khan autographed Everlast boxing glove. On Saturday, May 7th, middleweight world champion Canelo Alvarez and two-time world champion Amir Khan will collide in a mega fight. It's power versus speed. Don't miss Canelo versus Khan. See it live on pay-per-view Saturday, May 7th at 8 p.m. Central. We'll take caller number 20. Actually, what this says is it's an Everlast boxing glow. But I'm guessing it's actually a glove. So
I hope it is an Everlast glow.
That would be kind of cool. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join us at Sam Houston Race Park tomorrow and watch the Kentucky Derby in true Derby style. We're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets. You can join me for live racing tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You get a complimentary buffet. You sit in the special ESPN section. You get a handicapping contest. The winner gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park with ESPN 97.5. And I want this to go to somebody who's going to use the tickets and somebody who knows a little bit about horse racing. So here's how it's going to work. The first person – today is the Kentucky Oaks, by the way. I like the 13 horse. The first person who can call and tell our intern who was the regular rider for Kentucky Oaks winner Rachel Alexandra.
Daryl.
No. Good guess, though. But you need to know both names.
Morgan.
So Daryl Morgan would not be correct, but you would need Daryl.
Would need both. Morgan,
yes.
Daryl?
Yeah, if it's Morgan, Daryl, whatever. But the name of the regular rider of Rachel Alexandra. So, all right, I think we're about to have a guest here.
Oh, yeah. Looks like we are. No one told me, but that's all right.
Poor Michael Pearson is looking all scared. Yeah, that's great.
Doing well. How are you, boss? The great Roy Jones Jr. joins us. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful, brother. How y'all doing?
Can't complain. It's fight week. It's always a good time.
Of course it is.
All right. Now, everyone we've talked to has made it seem like there's one. Harold Letterman has been the exception. But everyone seems to think that this is maybe, I don't want to say a mismatch, but that the outcome is all but
determined. It looks like
determined.
A walk in the park. It looks like I'm walking in the park.
It looks
paper.
That way to you?
It looks like I'm walking in the park on paper, but the fights are not fought on paper. They're fought on canvas. On the canvas, Canelo has a hard time with guys that can box. Those are the guys that have gave him the most hardest times in his career. So being that he has a hard time with those guys, that's what gave this guy Khan the encouragement to move up and fight him because he's an exceptional boxer. Never boxed at this weight class before, but boxing he's exceptional at. And if a boxer is the type of guy that gives Canelo fits, then here goes the biggest fit he probably ever had. The only difference is this guy has not really shown the strongest chin even as a junior welter or welterweight. So I'm sure that's what Canelo would be banking on, that if I can just hit him, I can knock him out. Well, that's true, too, but just hitting him is the whole topic. That's the whole fight, if he can just hit him and without getting hit by Khan. So two questions have to be answered the first round. Can Khan hurt Canelo? And can Canelo catch Khan clean enough to hurt him? If that gets answered in the first round, then we know where the fight's going. But in the first round, if we find out that Khan can hurt Canelo and he makes it dangerous for Canelo to gamble and reach at him, now he makes for an interesting fight.
Do you think that this is sort of a no-lose situation for Khan? I mean, even if he loses the fight, no one thought he should have won.
Of course it's a no-lose situation for him. Nobody thinks he's going to win it. No way. So, of course it's a no-lose situation for him. But guess what? This guy came back after the Olympics and waited a whole year to fight the guy that beat him at the Olympics to avenge that loss. Does that sound like a guy that wants to lose? No, it does not. That he waited a whole year to avenge his amateur loss before he turned pro.
Yeah.
That tells you the integrity and how much this guy believes in trying to win. So he's not coming to lay down and lose just because he's in a weight class he's never fought in before. He's coming here to win.
A lot of talk about Canelo Golovkin after this fight. Do you think that will happen? We're kind of getting mixed responses from people. Obviously, it's a mandatory, but it's boxing.
Well, the bad thing about boxing is I know they say it's a mandatory, but in the bylaws, from the way I used to understand it truthfully, one champion can't be mandatory for another champion. That has to be optional. Now, they've made it mandatory, and I don't know why they did it, but I know that there are different reasons why they make it mandatory. So they had reasons that they have made this mandatory, but you got to also look at the fact that this guy's fighting this fight as a middleweight at 155. So he's showing you guys that I'm not a true middleweight. Therefore, I have no interest in truly being a middleweight. So that's his way of saying that I don't have to go up and fight this guy if I don't want to, because this guy's a true middleweight. I'm not. And with that being said, I can't guarantee that I really think the fight will happen with Triple G next. And then you got Freddie Roach, who says after Pacquiao beat Bradley, he wants Pacquiao to fight Canelo. So if Canelo's smart, why would he risk fighting Triple G for a quarter of the money and a bigger risk of losing than fighting a smaller guy for four times the money or five times the money in a fight that he very much could win?
As a fan, though, wouldn't you rather see Golovkin Canelo than Pacquiao Canelo?
Well, as a fan, I probably would rather see Golovkin Ward than Golovkin Canelo. So as a fan, you can look at that two ways. I would rather see Golovkin move up to 68 and fight Ward.
I mean, Golovkin and Canelo are in the same weight class.
Wait a minute. He's 155. He's really a junior middleweight still. He only did that because he could get that title from Cotto at 155.
Right.
He didn't do that because he's truly in that same weight class. So he's really a weight class below Golovkin, to be honest. That's why he keep weighing at 155, to show y'all that he's a weight class below Golovkin. He's not competing at 160. Why? Because he don't want to act like he's in Golovkin's weight class. So don't get that mixed up.
Okay.
He's doing that for a particular reason, because he's saying that I'm not a middleweight, I'm a junior middleweight. So that's a weight class below. Where Golovkin was a weight class below Andre Ward when Ward was 168. So just like we said, well, why won't he move up and fight Golovkin? Well, why wouldn't Golovkin move up and fight Ward? It's the same question both ways. So whoever doesn't benefit is nobody's fault. Both of them had the opportunity to do the same thing.
Andre Ward and Kovalev have their fight locked up now. If Kovalev beats Andre Ward, and Kovalev's obviously a class up from Ward, really, technically.
Yeah.
So if Ward loses that fight, does that fight then make sense, Golovkin versus Ward?
No, because now Golovkin needs to skip over Ward and go out and fight Kovalev.
Okay.
Because you didn't fight Ward when you could have,
right.
So don't wait till you get beat to go fight him. No, since you didn't fight when you should have fought him, if Kovalev beats him, then we need to see you going up and fight Kovalev then.
How big of a jump is too much of a jump in
your mind?
Ain't
no such thing. I went from junior middleweight to heavyweight. Ain't no such thing as too big of a jump in my mind. If you that good, then show me. Ain't no such thing as too much of a jump.
Did you ever get
Pacquiao came from 112 to 154.
Did you ever get into the ring and say, damn, I really shouldn't have gone up this much?
Heck no. If I asked for it, did I deserve what I get? I asked for it because I thought I could go up that much. So I didn't care that I went up that much. Even when I was an amateur, when I used to move up in weight, I used to move up two weight classes at a time. I went from 39 to 54. I went from 19 to 39, then 39 to 54. I didn't jump one week because that's how I always jumped two. You understand me? So
yeah.
I didn't care what I was facing. It didn't matter to me. When I got in there, I thought I was good enough to beat the best out there and whatever we fought it. So that's why I don't believe in catch weights.
So, Roy, are you pretty much done fighting now?
Don't quote me and say I ain't say that.
I know, but you're sounding more and more like a guy who's finally retired.
I don't care about fighting that much, but I mean, I ain't say I'm through yet, but I don't really care to fight a whole lot more because I ain't got a lot to prove, but I ain't say I'm through yet, but I ain't, you know, we'll see.
I know we ask you that every time, but this is the first time you've sounded like a guy who's ready to be retired.
I mean, I am ready to be retired, to be honest. I am ready to be. This will be my last year. 2016 will be my last year, so if they can talk me into doing it a couple more times, that's possible, but this will be my last year.
Is this going to be your main focus after that, doing the HBO stuff?
I want to be a trainer.
You want to train?
Yeah. I got a heavyweight that I'm training. I think I can make world champion out of. I got a couple of junior welterweights and a junior welterweight and a welterweight that I think a lot of. After boxing, I plan to go into training.
Does that spark the same passion for you that fighting does?
Of course it does, because that mind still has to work. The only thing different is now you have to not take it and put it into your own body, but you got to take that mind frame and put it into somebody else's body.
Yeah.
Even more difficult than doing it to yourself.
It hurts less, too, though.
Yes, it does. I can't say. Actually, it hurts less physically, but emotionally it hurts more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You watch somebody, somebody you're invested in.
Right,
for sure.
It's not the same. It's like it hurts less physically, but emotionally it hurts even more. Yeah. Because you feel like you can't do something to help heal that when they don't win.
All right. That's Roy Jones Jr. Always a pleasure, Roy.
Thank you guys for having me.
Enjoy the fights tomorrow night.
All righty.
All right. Okay, guys. I got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers, where they're blowing them away with the biggest Memorial Day sale ever. You can save anywhere from 5 to 50% off factory prices. Those are factory prices. These aren't those retail prices that are already marked up. You're already saving 50% off of those at Texas Mattress Makers because they're making the mattress right there and selling it directly to you. But on top of that, 5 to 50% off factory prices. See what a difference it makes going to the factory. They use real wood, real steel, quality materials to give you just the right feel for how you sleep. This is going to be the biggest Memorial Day sale ever. Obviously, Duval and the gang over there do a lot for veterans. Memorial Day is a big deal. They want to do a lot for you, too. 5 to 50% off of the factory prices. Visit them today at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Make sure you tell them I sent you. They love the blitzers. They will take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
Listen to the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby, 4 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Yeah, listen to it, or better yet, come out and watch it at Sam Houston Race Park with me tomorrow. I've got one more giveaway that we'll do next segment, so your last chance to get tickets to hang out and watch the races at Sam Houston Race Park. It is always very cool to be out there.
Yeah, I know I'm not supposed to say this because I work in radio. Is there anything dumber than listening to a horse race on the radio?
No. I mean, yeah, there are dumber things. Yes.
I think it's totally lost on me. Like, I don't know. On TV, I get it. On the radio, it's just so weird.
If that's your option, though, you're in the car, absolutely, it's fine to listen to.
All right.
That's okay. We got
another guest coming in. The voice of HBO boxing, Mr. Lampley himself. Jim Lampley joins us. How are you, sir?
Not bad. How are you guys today?
We're excited. It's almost fight day, Jim.
Yes, it is.
It's a big day. It's going to be fun. First, let's get your thoughts on the last time we were here, the Pacquiao-Bradley. I guess it went about exactly how you expected it to.
Yes, it did. You know, there were no surprises that particular night. And I think if viewers had paid attention to the two preceding fights, that they wound up seeing that what they probably most expected to see. Manny Pacquiao still has too much hand speed, too much fluidity, and too much counterpunching ability for the very dedicated but not quite as gifted Tim Bradley.
Do you feel like Pacquiao is truly finished at this point?
No, I don't think he's finished. I think he's definitely got the potential to make a lot of money by fighting again. His trainer is talking about a potential fight with Canelo Alvarez, which is just as counterintuitive as Amir Khan against Canelo Alvarez, but might provide Alvarez with a convenient way of sidestepping a Triple G fight.
That's what we were just talking to Roy Jones about. Roy Jones made it seem like Golovkin-Canelo doesn't really make sense. He says that, to him, Golovkin should be looking to move up past Canelo to an Andre Ward, or if Kovalev beats Andre Ward, to a Kovalev fight even, more than he should be looking at Canelo.
I don't know why people say that. I mean, at the end of the day, Triple G is a classic middleweight fighter. He was born to fight at 160 pounds. He wants to prove that he's the best middleweight in the world, and the audience wants to see him get a chance to prove that he's the best middleweight in the world. There's no giant groundswell in the audience that says, I don't want to see Triple G at 160 anymore. I want to see how he does against Andre Ward. Ward moved all the way up to 175. He must have a reason. The fight to be made here, and I totally disagree with Roy, I disagree with Bernard Hopkins, the fight to be made is Triple G and Canelo. Now, assuming that Canelo can win tomorrow night.
How would that fight go in your mind? Cause I that's the one fight I want to see.
I think it's a question fight. I mean, I think it's a great mystery because to me, and he proved it against Cotto in November, the single thing Canelo does best is defend. He's a very good defender with a very solid mechanical understanding of how to defend. He doesn't take risks. He prefers counterpunching to attacking. And so it's a natural matchup. Triple G, the attacking destroyer with boxing skills against Canelo, the outstanding counterpuncher with great defensive skills. They're both physically strong. They both enter the ring at something just over 170 pounds, regardless of the weight at which they've weighed in. And, you know, I think that Triple G is going to be the favorite. He has tremendous mystique because of his punching power. But there are various scenarios by which Canelo could win the fight, and I think we all want to see it.
What about Warden Kovalev? That's the
Another mystery fight. Really exciting. I mean, there's obviously nobody in the world who's gifted with a better style for taking on a tremendous offensive destroyer like Sergey Kovalev than is Andre Ward, who is maybe the smartest fighter alive, certainly one of the best defenders alive, a brilliant counterpuncher, has unique inside fighting skills, might be able to tempt Kovalev into fighting him face-to-face in a fight where Kovalev might be out-quicked and out-created. So, you know, it's a mystery fight. I tend to favor Ward. I think he has a style advantage. Every fighter to whom I've spoken in recent weeks about that fight says, no, Ward is taking this too soon. He should not be taking the risk of fighting Sergey Kovalev right at this moment. Kovalev is seen as a red-hot freight train and exactly the kind of freight train in front of which you don't want to get.
Well, let's talk about this fight tomorrow night, Canelo and Khan. A lot of people seem to be overlooking Amir Khan, maybe. I love the way he boxes. I love his hand speed. I just don't know if this is too much for him. I think it probably is too much for him. Do you think I'm off on that?
No, I think you're right on the money. You know, he has great hand speed.
Jong.
What the heck?
What the heck is that?
Jong. What? We're hearing Donald Trump.
Yeah. That must be on this end. All we're hearing is Donald Trump stuff. What the hell
is happening?
Of all the things we're hearing some kind of,
it's like a phone line.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we'll do, Jim. We'll let you go. I appreciate you taking the time with us. I'm sorry that
sorry
this happened.
About
if your listeners are possessed of any sanity whatsoever, I hope they'll ignore that nonsense.
Do
that
not give money to
right
Donald
now.
Trump.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. So it's not going over the air.
It's not going over
apparently,
the air.
All right. We're hearing it.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's
and
a
we're going to try
idea.
To get this thing worked out.
All right.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, we're good now.
We're good. Never mind. My goodness.
That was totally bizarre.
So we started to hear basically like a phone advertisement or a phone, like a call saying, asking to donate to Donald Trump. And very strange timing that would come through our headsets, but the world works in mysterious ways sometimes. I'm glad you were here to fix that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So apparently the boxing gods did not want to hear what Jim Lampley had to say about the fight. So what are we going to do? Michael Pearson, do we know what that was?
I have no idea. I have no idea what that was, but Jim Lampley really doesn't like Donald Trump.
No, I thought that was...
When he stepped down, he said,
I mean, what a crazy coincidence.
I know.
I hope he doesn't think that was planned by us.
Yeah, because that would have been funny.
Hmm. Yeah.
But, oh well.
Interesting.
Interesting.
It's interesting that Donald Trump is asking people for a $25 donation.
Yeah, I thought he was not doing that.
Yeah, well, I thought that was, he was like self-funding.
I know.
What is that? That was on our.
What did he have to do?
Was that had to
well,
be?
Yeah, he fixed it. Whatever
but
it was.
Yeah, it wasn't going. It didn't go out over the air, so our listeners didn't hear it.
Sorry, guys.
So they have no idea what we're talking about, other than we're in the middle of an interview, and all of a sudden we're all going, "What the hell?
That's awful."
So
how did that happen?
We don't know. That's the scary part.
Well, it's a Republican state, so they can do what they want.
Probably so. Yeah. I guess they infiltrated us. We've been hacked.
We've been hacked.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. We can also tweet us. I have another four-pack of Sam Houston tickets to give away, and why don't I do that now? The question for the for this time is going to be very simple. I had to send John the answer first. Join us at Sam Houston Race Park this Saturday. Watch the Kentucky Derby in true Derby style with a four-pack of tickets. Join me for live racing. Enjoy a complimentary buffet. Sit in the special ESPN section at Sam Houston Race Park. We'll play the handicapping contest. The winner gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park with ESPN 97.5. We'll have another Kentucky Oaks-related question. Okay, there was a horse that was going to be the very heavy favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. She's not running today. Name the horse. She got hurt and is having to skip the Oaks. So if you can name that horse.
Becky. Becky with the good hair.
Becky's hair is not that good, man. Have you seen it lately?
Mike, Becky with the good hair? You know about her?
Yeah, Mike knows. Lamont says maybe the first time I ever heard the show kick off a guest. There wasn't any point in us continuing because we weren't going to be able to carry on a conversation with that going on in our heads. It was loud, too. I guess somehow we just wires got crossed with somebody else who's here, I guess.
No idea what happened.
Yeah. That's a first, though.
It happens.
Yeah, it was a fun first, kind of. I love it when weird stuff happens for the first time. That's always cool. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. And we'll get to a lot more. We've got a lot more of the lot more interviews coming up. 713 says, AJ, for what it's worth, I was forced to listen to American Pharoah win the Triple Crown on the radio, and it was truly an unforgettable experience. Crazy screaming announcers and everything. Yeah, it's fine. It's like I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to it because I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have a choice, absolutely I'd listen to the audio. I want to know what happens. And same thing with golf. If there's a golf tournament I'm interested in,
that's worse
which
than
never
horse
happened,
racing to
never,
me.
Yeah, well, see, because you asked, is there anything worse? I just gave you something worse.
You did. You're right.
Congratulations. I'm guessing lacrosse on radio would.
I could see that being decent, even though although I don't really understand lacrosse to the point where I could follow it. But, I mean, I don't think that'd be much different than hockey or soccer on the radio.
Maybe not. What about this? What about bowling?
That would be awful.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone would do that, though.
Is there a bowling tournament worth being on radio?
I remember when there was at one point when David Gao asked if I could do, call mixed martial arts on the radio, if I could do play-by-play, like radio play-by-play of it. I was like, I don't know if that'll work. I'm just not sure. And I guess, you know, it works. It worked at one point. It did work with boxing. I don't think anybody does boxing on the radio anymore.
Yeah,
back in the old days.
I think it would work.
Boxing and horse racing, that's how people, before
right.
TV, that's what they did.
And baseball.
Baseball, yeah. They listened to it on the radio. So, you could, but I just don't know if it would. It's very difficult, I think, to.
I think it would be difficult, but I also think it could be done, and it could be done well.
Yeah.
By the right person.
Probably by a better play-by-play guy than me.
You just don't want to do play-by-play. It reminds you of doing high school football.
Yes.
So, all right. Is that music in our heads now? Because I'm
that's not
I'm
Donald
scared
Trump
to
commercial.
I'm scared to guess now what that is in our headphones. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Join me and the ESPN 97.5 Road crew in the special ESPN 97.5 section at Sam Houston Race Park starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby. Come play in the handicapping contest, watch, wager, and win with Sam Houston Race Park and ESPN 97.5. Do you see Jose Altuve guaranteed a home run for a cancer patient, and then
you got to be kidding me.
No, he did. You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, it was all over Twitter this morning. So
good for him.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And
that guy's having a hell of a season.
Yeah, he quietly is, and it's kind of getting lost because the rest of the team is not so good. But he is, and he's off to a terrific start. The guy's He's really emerged as a great player. There's no question. Unfortunately.
And while everyone thought that this was the year that Correa became, like, you know, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
It's not even close who the best player on this team is right now. It's Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's – he's been the best player. But eventually that'll be Correa, I think. But, you know, he's got to develop, and he will. I mean, he's a young player. He's going to have ups and downs. And
he will, but, man, you know, Altuve – everybody thinks, like, Altuve is like an old dude. Today, if I'm not mistaken, is his 26th birthday. And that tells me he's still got some time.
Yeah.
And as it stands right now, I mean, he's got 9 homers on the year, 19 RBI, 10 stolen bases, hitting .330. That dude's having a season, man. If you – I mean, obviously, I don't want to be on-pace guy, but that's on pace for a hell of a season. And I don't think he's going to end up hitting 35 home runs, but imagine if he did.
Yeah.
Imagine if he hit 25 home runs. What kind of a player you'd be looking at?
And especially with the steals
that
he has. Apparently, a young Astros fan named Dylan, who's been diagnosed with terminal cancer, asked Altuve before the game to put one out for him. And, of course, as you know, he did hit one off of Seattle's Wade Miley. And
why don't if they can just do it like that, why don't they do it every day?
You know, that's the thing. I love the nice story part of it. But it does make you wonder.
How come we never hear about guys guaranteeing a home run and then not coming through with it?
Yeah, we don't. I guess because it's not as good of a story.
Yeah.
It's like if he had said, I'm going to hit a home run for you and went 0 for 5, we wouldn't be talking about
it.
I
also feel like these stories are more credible if we're told before the game starts, not the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like it announced on Twitter before the first pitch, Jose Altuve has guaranteed a home run to a dying fan. And then see what happens from there.
I've heard that before on TV broadcasts.
Okay, so. I want to hear that. Should be.
I don't know. The guarantee is technically what he did. I think he just told him.
He said you can move on this as if the game's already been played, as if the home run's already been hit.
I see.
That's what he said to that kid.
interesting question here from Lamont. Will Altuve break Biggio's leadoff home run record and the league's record? What, he's got 6 of them now as leadoff homers, if I'm not mistaken? That's pretty good. I think he'll get to 8, that's for sure. 15, that'd be a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, but if he hits 15, that means he's hitting close to 30 homers at least. And, yeah, that would be pretty darn incredible. All right, 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter. And you can also get us on Facebook, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the show. And a couple people have mentioned that he said he probably couldn't hit one because he did the day before, but he'd still try.
Okay.
And so that's not really a guarantee. It's just, you know.
It wasn't a stone-cold lead pipe lock.
No. What's that guy that does that on those commercials, the stone-cold lead pipe lock? It wasn't that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. But
I think his name's Matt Stone, I believe.
Oh, that makes sense with the stone cold lock thing, right? Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway,
Matt Stone.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Somebody mentioned talking about sports on radio that wouldn't quite work. What about cricket?
Again, I don't understand the sport enough to know.
I can't watch it on TV, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, be able to it's not to it. For me.
Somebody said I caught my cousin listening to the Indy 500 on the radio once.
That's awful. I mean, somebody mentioned NASCAR. NASCAR's bad.
I've heard those, and especially at the big tracks, they'll have like 3 different announcers, one on each turn. And as the pack comes around, it's like so-and-so will go, hey, and that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the lead. Now let's go over to Bob on turn 2. Yeah, here they come by me, and that's still Dale Jr. Let's go over to Jesse on turn 3. And it is pretty hard to listen to. But, again, if you're a fan and you don't have an option, if you're out and about tomorrow and you can't go to the track and you can't watch it on TV and you're a horse racing fan, definitely listen to it on ESPN 97.5.
My friend Randy texted, it's Jonathan Stone.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan Stone believes you can move on this game as if it's already been played.
Who's Matt Stone?
That's a made-up person.
Okay.
I know that name. I made him up out of my head.
I know. I think there really is a Matt Stone. I don't know what he does. But I am definitely familiar with that name. Ah, he's an American actor, animator, screenwriter.
Oh, he's South Park guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's it. So that's where it came from. It isn't a made-up deal. Oh, well. You learn something new every day, right?
Don't you?
Yeah, something stupid every day. He's only 44 years old.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
Jonathan Stone has got to be 80 because he's been doing this for 75 years.
And
he's been picking winners since the age of 5.
Guaranteed lock of the week.
No questions asked.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, if the guy's making money doing what he's doing, making money for his clients, good for him.
Yep.
You know, that's – it's not quite my bit is to tout stuff and ask for money for it, but
– what a good gig, though.
Yeah.
Wish I had it.
Yeah, well, you could do that.
Instead, I just give my picks out for free on Twitter, and then people smack talk me, like, when I do lose.
Yeah, you could have your own hotline, though. We could come up with a – with a name for it, and you could always say,
I'd have to come up with a different name though, because AJ Hoffman doesn't sound like he's putting out locks.
Ace Hoffman does though.
Does Hoffman sound like a champion name?
You put Ace in front of anything, and you sound like somebody who will sell stuff on air.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, Ace Hoffman.
Good call.
713-780-ESPN. Somebody says, I was in Virginia on a Sunday and the NASCAR race was on at least 6 stations.
Ugh.
Hey, man, that's what people are into. And you put it on there and it get people to listen. It's good for your advertisers. Although I would assume that their NASCAR radio has all that stuff, right?
I
don't listen to it, but I know that it's on there. I see it all the time on my satellite, but I don't think I've ever listened to it. Really, the only stations I listen to are of sports stations is, like, I'll listen to the college, but during the tournament, there were some college games I would listen
yep.
to. During the NFL draft, I would listen to NFL a lot. It just, you know, that, and I love that hockey channel. That's just the goofiest thing. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. Somebody said you forgot to add live on a recorded message.
It's true.
All right. We've got 2 more hours to go. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.